today's special guest. Her name is Eve. Eve, why don't you go ahead and let everyone know why you're here?
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to, thank you for everything, because I always tell you in your messages how much you help everyone on Instagram, really give like amazing tips and things that people need to know. I'm here because I want to share my story and, hopefully maybe try to help somebody connect the dots with whatever they're going through and, just pay it forward.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk to me and get the word out about your journey. And yes, so the idea is to help other people who are going through similar challenges. So thank you for that and participation. Where do we begin? Where did your journey start? When did you start not to feel well?
So I've been, I'm in the nutrition field. I, do somewhat have like a background with health and, more of, healing through diet and things like that. But, about like 3 years ago, I went through a miscarriage that like, I think opened my eyes into like this whole new realm of functional medicine. And I've been through the whole process, and I'm sure many people have, through conventional medicine and going through a million doctors throughout my whole life since I was a kid. I was dealing with a lot of gut issues, and I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's at like 17, and I've been on medications for it since then. I think until I had my miscarriage, I was kind of like, thinking to myself, like, there's something else that's missing, because I think a year before I had my miscarriage, I got sick. I got Epstein-Barr virus. And normally the things I would eat would make me bloated. And I didn't understand why. And I was eating healthy. I was eating a whole foods diet. I was eating nuts and seeds. And then all of a sudden, like, just like chia seeds would like make me look like 8 months pregnant. So I knew there was something wrong, and there was more to health than just nutrition. And then after my miscarriage, I kind of saw that like my thyroid got reactivated and things like that. So I reached out to more functional doctors in New York, went through the whole process of trying to find someone that could really help me. And obviously, Instagram is like a great place to like find many different resources. So I found a lot of different doctors on there that were talking about different things, what causes like miscarriage and things like that. So I bumped into a few different doctors, like Dr. Ben Lynch, that talks about, your genetics and, how to figure things out, why things are actually happening to you. So I got introduced to him. I spoke with him, and he kind of guided me to someone that is helping me up until today, a naturopath that he connected me to. She helped me with my thyroid alongside a functional doctor that was also helping me. And then she actually ran all the testing for me, all the functional labs, because it was kind of like there's something going on. It just can't just be my thyroid, because there's something going on in my gut. My diet's not cutting it anymore. So I ended up finding out through her that I had mold in my gastrointestinal system, and I had mycotoxins, and she even thought that was causing my thyroid problems. And I guess it was. I changed my meds. I, was taking a really high dose, and I did all, a bunch of different detox protocols, and was able to lower down my thyroid meds and get my thyroid back into remission just from healing from the mold. So that's where it like kind of like led me until today. But just so overwhelming, because there's so much more to health than just diet.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry to hear about what you went through. And, I've spoken to various people who have been in similar situations, have had miscarriages, and obviously it's a difficult thing to go through. So I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. Did the doctor kind of determine what they thought, you know, was the cause?
I mean, I can only speak of like my own opinion, because no one's ever going to be able to tell you like this caused this. But I do believe that, you know, obviously with, obviously can't be luck, but everything in a combination between, you know, my genes and my detoxification system. And I think it's just like the whole combination of everything all together. And then on top of it being chronically exposed to mold in my house, I guess.
Yeah. Creates a perfect storm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was interesting because I just had an Instagram live yesterday with Dr. Carrie Jones, who talks a lot about, you know, hormonal imbalances and how mold in our environment can help exacerbate that. Particularly thyroid is one of them that she sees frequently. So it's interesting to see, you know, and connect the dots where you also were experiencing an imbalance of your thyroid and had to, you know, support your system to help balance that back out. Did you start to see results when you started taking supplements to improve your thyroid?
Yes, but I also like, because I'm also, you know, I'm a practitioner and I do also work with people that do also have thyroid issues. I feel like it's just one piece to it. Like, I didn't just focus on, you know, the detox protocols. It was more about lifestyle changes and supporting my adrenals and my nervous system. It kind of like, I think it was a ripple effect into really like correcting the thyroid. Cause I did actually run a Dutch test. Cause I actually love Carrie Jones. She's part of the whole, you know, the Dutch test, and she's the pro. I love her. I actually ran that test also as well. My cortisol was high at night, and like that plays into effect with the everything else. And just feel like there's so many different pieces to it, but I think it's just a combination of everything that really helped it.
That's good. And what did you do with regards to the mold? Did you start to practice avoiding the mold? How did you deal with that?
So I tried to keep up with it. I did know that I did have mold in my house. And I started digging and digging and digging, reading books, looking up resources. It just so happens that my naturopath is very connected to Dr. Jill Carnahan and Dr. Jill Krista, which they're great people that, you know, deal with people that are suffering with mold. So I kind of had all those resources in my house. I was really trying to keep up with it only because I didn't have the funds to fix it. So I had air filters running. I cleaned my house really well. I cleaned the dust really well. I changed over all my products in my house, like more non-toxic, trying to like lessen the burden on my system. And yeah, I think cleaning with like Decon 30 and all those things really helped.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you started to notice a difference when you did all those changes?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people believe that like you can't heal in mold. I guess I was like one of those, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't believe it. Like, you're that 1% that was able to like fix yourself while living in mold. And I guess I was, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works differently for everybody. Right. And it also depends on how contaminated the place really is. And for many folks, especially when they're living in apartments or don't have the resources to remediate, doing something to reduce the exposure is going to be profitable, right? So by cleaning, I know, of course, a lot of these mold spores and these toxins, they settle in our dust and they accumulate there. So when you clean, you're going to be removing some of these elements of exposure, you know, and air purification too. It's something that, you know, we don't typically think about. So we don't ever, you know, focus on those types of strategies. But of course, you know, by removing these particles that are in the air that are opportunistically getting inside of our body, these are good things. So I think your story is a testament to the fact that do what you can, right?
Yeah.
You know, you just do what you can and you'll see results. And I think that's really important because, as you know, so many people out there are like, if you don't do everything, you have no fighting chance. And based upon what I see, I wouldn't suggest that that would be true, because, you know, just like we're having this conversation today, there's many people that just, you know, find out they have lots of problems in their home and can't afford to do it all. And so they do what they can and they actually do see benefits from that. So I think it's important for somebody who's listening, who may be overwhelmed, you know, it's good to know that there are steps you can take. Doing the best that you can is what's required, you know, and it doesn't have to be all done in one shot. You know, I think that's 100%. An important thing. That's great. So how are you doing? How are you doing now?
Well, I'm pregnant.
Oh, congratulations. That's amazing.
I'm doing 2 months, but I, you know, obviously nobody took me serious when I was living in it. And my family was kind of like skeptical and, but you know, they're the most supportive people to me right now. And my husband also, you know, it's very hard when you're dealing with multiple people that are living in the same house with you and they don't have the same symptoms as you have. And, really? You know, you're dealing with an autoimmune disease and nobody understands how you feel. And my husband's sitting there like, oh, it's nothing. Like, it's nothing. And he had people telling him all the time, like, no, black mold is like, that's serious stuff. But he was kind of like in a denial. And I just kept trying to like explain to him, like, this isn't a joke.
Yeah.
But I think it got to that point where, you know, multiple people started getting involved. And, you know, recently I was in the middle of renovating one of the rooms and like fixing it for the baby. And I opened up a wall because I found black mold on the side of a radiator. And I told him, you know what? I don't know. I had like this like gut feeling, like, you need to cut the wall. So he cut the wall and we ended up finding an old wall behind the wall with layers and layers of wallpaper and mold all over. And at that point, I was like, I called my father and I'm like, this is the situation. It looks like the whole room is an old wall. And I probably will guarantee, if this is how they sold me the house, like, guarantee this is the whole house. And I was literally like going crazy every single day, like telling my husband, like, I'm tired of spending money on the supplements. And I would break down crying, like, it's just, like, it's so hard to try to keep up that you kind of like realize, like, you're spending all this money on all these different things, like, you might as well just fix the problem and, you know, things will go away. But I think once other people started getting involved and like, you know, this is a risk and you're pregnant and how much more dangerous it is to babies, that, you know, they had to step in and kind of take over, that my husband realized, you know, this is serious. Like, it's not a joke. Especially when you have babies involved.
Of course. Yeah, no, it isn't a joke, you know, and I wish that more people knew about this so that, you know, there's not as much suffering that occurs as a result of that, you know. And I think it's, for us, it's such a societal problem. And we go to our doctors looking for answers and they're not talking about it, you know. And so it's one of those things where we end up suffering until we finally find somebody that says, hey, have you thought about checking your house for mold or bacteria due to water damage events? And then that's when, you know, we do that. And then see the results and go, oh my gosh, this all makes sense now. But, yeah. You know, I wish that we didn't have to suffer to get to that point, you know, and hopefully these channels that we do, like this podcast, for example, can help, even if it helps one person suffer less, it's all worth it.
100%.
And I know that's why you're here today, you know, to help me do just that.
Yeah.
So now that you've found all this thing, what's the plan moving forward? You're fixing the place. You're going to stay in the apartment until that's done. And
yeah, that's the story.
Good. I'm sure it's a lot more complex than that. And I've just mentioned it in a very simple terms, but I would imagine that, you know, that's smart of you guys to make that decision and to, you know, Unfortunately, I know that you guys bought this house and I had no idea that there was issues there that you've now inherited, but I know that you're, you know, doing the right thing because it's important to you now that you know.
I don't like to, I mean, like take things as a like burden or like, I hear this all the time also from like other people, like they're exhausted from trying to fix things and things not working. And I'm like, it's not the right mindset to have. Like now I look at this, like my baby's coming. It's going to be a fresh new start. I'm going to have a new house. I'm going to have everything new. Like it's, they say like in the Jewish tradition that when, you know, when babies come, they give you blessing. So I kind of look at it in that perspective that this is all a blessing that I can start my life over.
That's a great way to look at it. And I think mindset is so powerful with this stuff because I think we've all been in situations where something unexpected happens, you know, and obviously there's different degrees of variability there. But if you are in the mindset of like, oh my God, this happened to me and I can't overcome it, you know, odds are it's going to be difficult to overcome it. But if you are taking it and you're tackling it head on and you're just one step at a time, creating a plan, getting the information you need to create such a plan, I think that's really important, you know, to have it on that mindset because, you know, we sometimes are victims, right? Sometimes things happen to us that we don't deserve. It's not fair. Doesn't make sense. You know, things that can question our faith, right? But the reality of the situation is it's how we go into battle with that mindset, right? That makes us succeed because it's hard to succeed when you feel like a victim, you know? And when you take crappy situations in life, as they say, you make lemonade out of lemons, you know, you're going to prevail much faster, you know, than you would by sitting there and thinking about, you know, why me or why did this happen to me, you know? And they say that bad things happen to good people. You know, it's an unfortunate part of life. I think personally, the way I look at it is bad things happen to good people to make them stronger.
I always believe that.
You know, and I think because the universe, the world we live in, it needs stronger good people because unfortunately there's so many greedy, bad people out there. And we won't make it if we don't have good people in strength, in numbers, you know, that are out there trying to protect everybody else. And I think that's kind of the way that I look at it, you know, whether I'm right or not, that's not for me to decide, but I like to think of it that way because, you know, when I look at things, I always see bad things happening to good people. And I see, you know, how avoidable those things are, you know, and not to get political or anything like that, right? But we've all been in situations where we needed to file an insurance claim only to be told that we're not covered, you know, or that these things, you know, are not their problem. And when you look at that, it's kind of, you know, unfair, obviously. And I think that it's because obviously there's companies in business, and this is all different sectors of business here, but there's companies in business that prioritize profits over the protection of people that they're supposed to have. And this happens in construction and renovations too, right? So just looking at that aspect, you know, we have to kind of get back to humankind, right? And care about one another and help one another and have more of a community again. We've kind of lost sight of that. And I think, you know, we have to be strong to accomplish that. You know, when I look at what I'm trying to do and I'm trying to help change legislation to make sure that mold is considered a health hazard in every state in the United States. And I know, cause I'm part of it. I see that, you know, roofing associations join in opposition of changing any laws regarding mold. I see that the Board of Education in certain states jump on board in opposition for this. Why? Because then they're going to have to be accountable because then it's going to cost them to be liable for things when they make mistakes. That's not right that they should oppose something because they're worried about their pocketbook, because the other side of the fence is people are impacted by that. And yeah, when they, when they, You know, if they, if you hire a roofer and they don't fix your roof properly and it leaks and it leads to $50,000 worth of mold damage, why should you have to pay for that? They made the mistake, right? So there's accountability, and that's what our justice legal system is supposed to have, accountability, but it only works via the laws that are written. And so what comes with water damaged buildings and mold and all of that stuff is there's not a lot of laws written that can enact accountability so that the people who are impacted don't have any recourse. So all that stuff needs to change, right? Because then it's going to make people care about the products they produce, about the services they provide, so that people aren't impacted by it, because then they can be held accountable for it. So, you know, and that's kind of where this fight of good versus evil comes into play. Not that I think that everybody's evil, but whenever we look at making money over caring about people's well-being, I think that crosses that line of evil, right? And so I think it's really important that we kind of look at things and look at these laws and regulations and make sure they're updated in today, 2022, versus, you know, some of these laws haven't been changed since the 90s. We have more information, more technology at our fingertips, you know? And so it's kind of interesting how this conversation all tied together with that, but I think that it was worth the highlight and worth to mention.
For sure.
When do you think your house will be ready to move in?
That's up in the air. We just finished outside. Now we're attempting to start inside pretty soon, but we have holidays coming up. We have baby coming. So I don't even know where I'm going to be, either here or there, but hopefully soon. All at the same time.
If I may make one slight recommendation, you know, just make sure that it's, you know, it's good. Don't rush into it. And I know, like, it's hard when you're going through a project and you're like, man, I just want to be in my house already. And I would just say that, you know, if it takes a little longer to get it, you know, to get the results you're looking for, you know, and just accept it and focus on that, because at the end of the day, that's the best long-term play, you know, to make sure that it's a healthy environment for you and your family.
Yeah. And you'll never know what's to come until you start ripping walls.
Yes, that's true. And if you go in there with more of an open mind and you don't pressure yourself on a specific deadline, then, you know, you can't be disappointed when things take a little longer than expected. You know, I always try to go into situations that I know I can't control more with an open mind and let things happen the way they're going to happen and tackle things as they come up against me, because then I can't be disappointed and my mental health does not suffer as a result of that. So Eve, what are some of the symptoms that you experienced with mold exposure that you're aware of?
Also forgive me because of the sound. I live near a very busy street now.
No worries.
My husband hates it. We used to live in a very much more quieter area, but whatever. I had a lot of different symptoms. My vision changed, the gastrointestinal system, my whole gastrointestinal system got messed up. I don't have a gallbladder, so it kind of put more pressure on my liver. So I had a lot of flare-ups there. My nervous system, else. I had a little bit mast cell activation, like towards the middle of protocols. So much chronic inflammation, chronic fatigue. My hair was falling out. I didn't have sense. I mean, the one thing I could say for most girls that wouldn't think that this would happen, but I wasn't gaining weight like most of other people, because I feel like I took my time with things. I feel like when you're trying to like heal from like the symptoms, like you try to like focus so much on the symptoms that like you want to get better. And like at the same time, people also want that like weight loss, but it's like not so simple. But normally people complain about that. That didn't really
happened to me. What else? High histamines. Oh, I had chronic UTIs in the beginning. I was getting pulse nasal drip chronically in the beginning. And I think that's it. Joint pain. I have a whole list. it's in my mind. Those were really the ones that really bothered me the most.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You know, what's interesting is like I've begun to notice as I ask these questions, you know, the average person deals with like 40 different symptoms, you know, through this exposure and through the other things that they're dealing with. And, you know, it's a lot, right? And 40 symptoms to go through chronically while you're in an environment, you know, and not have the answers to understand why you're having these symptoms. I mean, that's a lot, right? To put on our health, especially because we all have a, you know, goal to be healthier, right? I think it's everybody's New Year's resolution.
I have it written down. Yeah. I have it written down somewhere. I just, off my head, like you can't populate all that answer.
Totally.
Off topic, but I have it written somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's important to discuss because I think for so many people, when they start to hear all these different symptoms, they're like, wait, that sounds like me. You know, I wonder if I have an issue. And it kind of prompts them to, you know, look in that direction. And typically what they're finding, which is what makes this such a remarkable thing and why I think we need to pay more attention to this, is 9 times out of 10, they're finding something, right? They're finding issues in their home. And when they are taking care of it, either by remediation, utilizing different techniques to reduce the exposure, or even just, you know, changing locations entirely, they're noticing improvements. So it's very interesting to say that, you know, and kind of dive into that. Because if any of you listening have these similar symptoms, and that sounds like you, and you haven't even thought about, you know, your home being a contributor to that, you may want to take another look.
Yeah.
What prompted you?
Definitely the UTIs. The UTIs and the pulse nasal drip was two of the things that I think went away first.
Very interesting. What did you do inside your home to identify that you did have mold there? Did you do testing? Did you do an ERMI? What was kind of the first steps that you took?
I hired an inspector.
Okay.
And I didn't hire just any inspector because I know that you have to be very picky with them. In the past, I did not go down. You know, I've done remediation in my house twice, but I didn't go about it in the right steps, like hiring an inspector and doing, you know, whatever I had to do. But I got in touch with Steve Levy, part of Home Inspections, which I really think he, you know, has a great team also that does testing. And he really went through the house like detail for detail.
That's awesome.
He helped me the most.
Oh, it's good. So it's like, the first step in the journey. You have to know what's happening, where it's coming from, where is it, right? Yeah. Because it's some people, if they don't get a good inspection, they don't really know where the problem is, you know, and it actually leaves them more confused than when they first started, because they're like, well, I don't know where this is coming from. You know, a lot of people, they'll start out doing like an ERMI, which, you know, tells you what's in your environment. It doesn't tell you where it's coming from. So without an inspection, if you don't know where it's coming from, you know, there's a problem. You just don't know where, right? It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and you're searching for answers, you know, there's a problem, but the doctor's telling you, well, everything looks fine, you know? So it's kind of part of the big problem that we have in this industry, and adds to the frustration and delays people from, you know, getting the answers they need to get better. So I'm glad you found a good inspector, you know, and went through that process. That's really helpful. I'm glad that you are, you know, have plans. You got yourself out of there. You've begun your road to recovery. Congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank you.
And that's all exciting stuff. A new beginning for you.
Yeah. Excited.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I have two little ones, so I know that the I know the exciting, nervous feeling for sure. I can recall, but it's been nothing but a blessing, as you said, you know, and I know that you guys will be happy.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So before I let you go, there's always one question I like to ask and end with. If there was one thing and only one thing that you learned throughout this journey that you want to share with others that you think would be the most impactful for them going on their journey, what would that one thing be?
In terms of mold you're talking about?
Yeah, mold or your health or the diagnosis part, anything that you think was the most impactful piece of knowledge that you've gained that you want to impart on others.
I think if someone's suffering, and if, unfortunately this happens, that when someone's suffering for a very long time, they'll do anything to find out, opening books, reading books, looking up resources, asking people questions, not being shy and closed off and not being open-minded. Definitely have to be open-minded to the process and hearing what other people, have to say about it. One of the things I always go back to is just common sense and not overcomplicating things, like really focusing on the basics the most, and I'm not a firm believer on over supplementation. Just doing what you need that's foundational, I feel like, is the most important. In terms of that, that's for healing, but in terms of like mold and like fixing your house, because it doesn't only take the energy out of yourself to not just like focus on yourself, but you also have to worry about your house and your environment. You don't know anything. You're not an expert, or, you know, you have to hire people to do that. It's a full team job, from what I realized. You can't just find an inspector. Like it's more about, you need an inspector, you need a plumber, you need a roofer, you need someone who specializes with waterproofing. Like it's a full team that you need. And unfortunately, we don't have that today. We don't have people working together, you know, like you said, like people need to care about each other and like care about what they're trying to help. And everyone needs to work like a team. So I think don't just nitpick one person is going to fix all your problems. You have to know at that level that it involves a whole team. And just always asking like, why? Like when I had my inspection, like I just want to like point this out because it's so important. When I had my first inspection, when I bought my house, the attic I had up to my roof was inaccessible. Like you could literally just like pop your head. It was like a small little pocket. And I remember the inspector coming. He did not go up there, and he put his meter up there and said, oh, the air is dry. One of the biggest mistakes I learned now is that doesn't mean just because the air is dry that there's no mold. So when I had Steve come out and look, he was using multiple different types of meters, not just a dial that shows if the air is dry or not. So you have to really hone in on, don't just believe, and I hate to say, like, don't just trust one person because they're telling you, even with anyone, even if someone's the best, you still have to ask questions. Why, what else do I have to ask for? And just keep asking questions.
Yeah, some great feedback and great points you just made. You're right. It is definitely a team-based approach when it comes to repairing your home. Unfortunately, you're right. There's not one person that can fix it. There's a team of people, you know, and of course it depends on the situation. If your roof is, you know, needing replacement or needing repairs, you'll need a roofer. You'll need a drywall guy or a general contractor that has access to plumbers and electricians and things of that nature, because you got to stop what caused the opportunity for it to grow in the first place, you know? And so Yeah, you make a very valid point. I think it's helpful for people to know that, you know, so that going into it, they can help cultivate the best team. And you will want to interview people to create the best team that you can. And it's important to make sure that they understand your goal, right? You're not just fixing a pipe. You're fixing a pipe because you want to make sure that that pipe never leaks because you're concerned about mold and bacteria. And by understanding and stressing the importance of what your end goal is, you can ensure you have the right people. Because if you bring a plumber on site who's going to be like, mold's not a big deal, you know, it's not this big deal. Well, that's how he's going to react when he makes a mistake and there's a leak and now it's got to be cleaned up, right? So I think it's important to make sure you have the right team, no matter how little or small their role may be, that they understand what your goals are to accomplish in this project.
Right. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
I guess people know now.
Hard reality, but it's a reality nonetheless. Eve, so if someone wanted to connect with you, how would they do so?
Probably through Instagram. Normally people don't call me by my first name. They call me by my Instagram. It's Flavorful Fit. Awesome. It's Flavorful_fit.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I hope that, you know, some people reach out to you to connect, to build this community we're trying to build and keep supporting one another. And hopefully, you know, why don't you just kind of highlight some of the services you offer when people do reach out to you, not only just as support system, but you obviously do help other people too.
Yeah. So I am a health practitioner. I work with a doctor in New York City. His name's Dr. Keith Berkowitz. We focus a lot on thyroid and healing with thyroid and getting to the root cause on why somebody would have issues with their thyroid. And then, you know, I really hone in on nutrition and really individualizing that for people who are going through multiple different types of things, like if it's mold, if it's bacterial overgrowth, if it's, you know, anything in specific, like you really have to look at, you know, your epigenetics. So really, and the gut. So I really try to individualize nutrition as much as possible to help support someone who's really trying to feel better.
That's so important. You know, health is holistic and air quality is important, but so is all the other pieces of health, such as diet, water, exercise. So the vital services that you offer, appreciate all that you do. I know that I'm sure since you've been through it yourself, anytime you suspect that someone is dealing with mold, I'm sure you point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, Eve, it was a pleasure interviewing you today. Thank you for taking the time out of your day and joining us here at Mold Talks. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.